Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pause before we jump into your word this morning just to quieten our hearts. It's been a busy morning, and there's a lot on our minds, a busy time of year. And yet, Father, we're bringing our hearts to your word. I'm so thankful for every woman that made preparation to get up this morning and to be here and to be under the powerful word, because it's going to help us. It's going to encourage us. It's going to build us up. We're going to become full of faith as we study it. And we're going to be changed. And we need those things. We're very needy in our generation. And we're needy to be strong women of the word. And so take this lesson this morning and just speak to our hearts and teach us, instruct us in how to live. I pray for every family represented. Father, you know every detail of our lives. You are well acquainted with all of our ways, the word of God tells us. And so, Father, we just bring to you all of our burdens this morning. We cast them on you, and we just pray, Father, that we will be godly mothers, godly wives, godly sisters, godly daughters, godly grandmothers, that we would bring influence to our world through everything that we do. And we pray this in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. Now, I was praying. I ended up over here. I don't know how that happened. This morning, we are actually going to be in lesson 8 of our workbook. And so today's lesson is a lesson on prayer. And I was just thinking, how can we possibly have completed 8 weeks of this workbook? Haven't they gone fast? It's amazing how fast time goes. But I do appreciate this study so very much, Foundations of the Faith. And one reason I love it is because it just takes us and gives us basic information that's going to build a strong foundation. I think it's an excellent tool for young Christians who are young in their faith, who are just growing. It just covers all of the basics, all of the bases. And then it's also very good for mature Christians because it sharpens our understanding of key doctrines and equips us to be more equipped for evangelism and discipleship. So I hope you're enjoying this study. Now, what you believe really matters, because doctrine, which is what you believe, leads to duty, which is your lifestyle. You live out what you believe in your heart. And so each week as we come to take a new subject, the best results occur if you do your homework. So at this time, I will check your notebook to see who has done their homework. No, I won't do that. But I do want to encourage you to catch up if you're behind. Now, so far, we began in lessons 1 and 2 looking at just the Word of God and just talking about the Bible, the structure of the Bible, how to know the Bible. We see the Bible contains everything we need for life and godliness. It's a very important book in the life of a Christian. What a resource is ours in God's Word. And I can just give you a testimony. I love the Word of God more and more every year. It's absolutely inexhaustible. And it's so worthy of our consideration. But one thing I want to say this morning on the front end of our lesson, it's impossible to believe and understand and follow what you don't even know. You see, if I don't know God's Word, how am I going to believe it and follow it? I've got to know it, don't I? So we can't expect to live a spiritual life without knowing spiritual truth. The two go together. And we don't want to be biblically untaught believers. So regular, systematic, thorough study of God's Word is absolutely essential if we're going to be kingdom women who live godly lives. So first, when we started, we considered the Bible. And then in our next lesson, we just looked at God. And we did a week study on his character. We looked at some of his attributes. And then we turned our attention to Jesus. And we spent 2 weeks looking at him and what he did in his work on the cross. And then that led to our next week's lesson, which was about salvation. And then last week we looked at, I think last week was my favorite lesson so far, except for today. We looked at the Holy Spirit. And we said that's the key to everything. Remember the command? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is the key to living a victorious Christian life. We talked about the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And today, our subject is prayer. Prayer is such a privilege. So let's jump in. And what I want you to do is just pull off that top page, because that we're going to refer to that in a minute. And first, I want to just cover some principles, just some overall principles about prayer. Now, let me say this. Listen very carefully. Your view of God, your understanding of who God is, affects your prayer life. And I think our greatest need as believers is to know what God's Word says about who God is. We've got to know the one who is inviting us to come and to pray. Now, lesson 3 was all about God, and we talked about his nature, his attributes. He's eternal. He's all-powerful. He is holy, holy, holy. He knows everything. He is unchangeable. He is sovereign. He's huge. He's big. He's above and beyond and outside of everything. He's transcendent. That's another word that says that very same thing. He is majestic and lifted up. He is working to perfection his plan for the universe and for mankind. And he has everything under control at all times. He has perfect knowledge. He doesn't really need us to give him any more information. So as I consider who God is, and I consider how huge God is, how magnificent God is, all of those awesome realities about his person, it could just take the heart out of my praying, because in comparison to who he is, I am just a molecule. I am so puny in comparison to him, so small. I feel so insignificant in all of history to be this one person who is living at this time in comparison to everything, who he is and everything that's going on in the world. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, he knows where he's going. He knows what he's doing. He certainly doesn't need any information from me about anything. And yet, here I am. I'm a born-again daughter of God. I've been received, I've been accepted into his forever family. And I'm given all of these amazing promises concerning prayer in the Word of God. And the wonderful truth about God and about prayer is just this. Yes, God is in control. He's been in control from the beginning. He'll be in control to the end. He's in control all through the middle. But here is what I want you to understand this morning. He has also ordained, now listen carefully, the means to the end. Now, what do you mean by that, Teresa? Well, look on your handout. Through prayer, we become a part of God's means. This is what I mean. So prayer is, it's not about me changing God's mind. It's not about me changing God's plans. It's not about me giving him information he doesn't have. It's not about me tweaking circumstances that he might not have anticipated. No, none of that. But here's what I want you to write down. Prayer is simply about me being used by God to accomplish his divine purposes. You see, God takes me and my prayers, and He uses me. I become part of the process through my praying to accomplishing His will. Isn't that interesting? Now, I want you to think with me this morning. Just let this blow you away. That God chooses to use people like us. We're so inept. We don't have a clue about the future. We don't know what's coming our way tomorrow, do we? And yet He uses us to accomplish His eternal ends. I'm thinking as I'm doing this lesson, there's a person in my life that I'm very burdened about. And I've been praying about that person. And God is moving. And I'm studying this lesson and I'm saying, God, You burdened me to pray because You want to accomplish Your will, and You're doing it. I get to go along and be a part of the process in my prayers. It's fun and it's exciting. And so the Bible commands us, be filled with the Spirit, but listen, pray. Pray without ceasing. Now let's write down some things about prayer before we jump into the meat of our first page there that you tore off. Here's number one. Prayer brings glory to God. Look at John 14:13. Whatever you ask in My name, Jesus said, that will I do. Now, why will you do it, Jesus? So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When you pray and God answers your prayer, this glorifies God. Look at number two. Prayer brings our will alongside God's will. In Luke 22, Jesus prayed this. There He is in the garden. He's facing the cross. Father, if You're willing, remove this cup from me, He prayed. Yet not my will, but Yours be done. You see, through prayer, God brought His will into God's will. Look at John 6:10. Jesus taught His disciples to pray this way. Pray, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, prayer brings my will alongside God's will. All right, here's another thing. Prayer brings peace. This one is such a good one. Because Philippians says, now listen, don't be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And do it with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Take your requests, make them known to God. And what will the result be? The peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Have you ever experienced the peace of God through prayer? I've got such a testimony, but I don't have time to share it. But it's true. Taking your burden, casting it before God, He gives you His peace. Number four, we pray to confess sin. Because, you know, we're still in these bodies of flesh and we still mess up. But if we'll just confess our sins in prayer, look at 1 John 1:9 there. Then God is faithful and He's righteous. And what will He do when I confess? He will forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Number five, we pray to cast our burdens upon God. Peter says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all of your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. These are all amazing prayer promises. And then number six, pray because prayer is powerful. Look at James 5. The effective prayer of just one righteous person accomplishes much. You're just one person. You're one person. You're in Christ. That means you're righteous. It's not that you're righteous on your own. No, you've got His righteousness imputed to you. And your prayers accomplish much. Now, that's exciting. And then number seven, prayer is not an option. And we've got two things. Jesus prayed. He's our example. And look at Luke 5. It said, but Jesus Himself would often slip away to the wilderness to pray. Hey, if Jesus needed to pray, my goodness, do we ever need to pray? And then look at the next one. We are commanded to pray at all times. We looked at this verse last week out of 1 Thessalonians 5. You are to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, and then this clear statement, for this is God's will concerning you. Pray always, without ceasing. Ephesians 6 says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Now, what are the conditions for answered prayer? Well, let's write this down. Number one, you must abide in Christ. That means you're in Christ. You're saved. That's the first thing. And His words abide in you. And I get that out of John 15:7, where Jesus said, look, my dear disciples, if you will abide in me and let my words abide in you, this is just an amazing promise. Just ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Isn't that something? Number two, you must pray according to the will of God. Look at 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence which we have before God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Now, ladies, I'm going to pray God's will when I know God's word. You say, well, what is God's will? Just pray God's word. That is his will. What are hindrances to prayer? Well, number one, if you have sin in your life, sin. Because look at Psalm 66. The psalmist said, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So, you know, you just have to keep a clean record with God and let the blood of Christ be continually cleansing us from all sin. Another hindrance to prayer would be to pray with wrong motives. And we get that out of James 4. Where James says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. You're self-centered. You want to spend it on your pleasures. And then a third hindrance to prayer would be lack of faith. And we go to James, where James says, but you must ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that person ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Well, Teresa, I want to be a woman of faith. How can I not doubt? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Just stay in the word. Let it continue building you up, and faith is the result of what comes. Now let's go to a parable that Jesus gave concerning prayer. I love this parable. We're going to be in Luke 11. And let me just give you the context of this parable. Jesus is with his disciples, and Jesus has been praying. And Jesus had such a powerful prayer life. And his disciples were with him all the time, and they were observing him all the time, watching him. And they watched him praying. And they were like, man, I wish I had a prayer life like that. And so they went to Jesus when he had finished praying, and his disciples asked him. Look at verse 1 there. Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also, they're talking about John the Baptist here, as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. And so Jesus just gives them a couple of verses. Let's look at verse 2, 3, and 4. And he said to them, when you pray, here's how you pray. Say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Now, we're familiar with that prayer, but we usually quote the one that's in Matthew 6. The Matthew 6 version of the Lord's Prayer is what we memorize. It's a little more detailed, and it's actually the disciples' prayer. Everything you need to know about prayer is in that prayer. You start out by glorifying God, hallowing his name, thinking about who he is. And then you're saying, Lord, I want your kingdom to come on earth. I want your kingdom to come through me. I want to be your kingdom woman. I want your will to be done. This is so good to pray for your children and your grandchildren. Lord, would your kingdom, bring your kingdom in my grandchildren. May your will come through my grandchildren. my children. Just take this prayer, pray it, and my life. And then I have to think about myself. He's going to meet my needs. I'm going to say, give me this day what I need. Give me my daily needs. He meets our needs so beautifully, doesn't he? And then I've got to check my heart, make sure there's not unforgiveness in my heart. I have a grudge against someone. That'll hinder my prayers. I've got to do a heart check. And I've got to forgive people. Forgiveness is such a beautiful thing. And then I have to understand I have an enemy. And so I'm going to ask him, please protect me. Don't lead me into temptation. I don't want to be in a situation where I'm going to make mistakes and sin. Just protect me, God. And so Jesus says, now this is how you need to pray. But in Luke 11, he follows it with a parable. And that's what I want us to give our attention to this morning. Let's read the parable. It's a remarkable story, really. I just love it. Let's start in verse 5. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey. I have nothing to set before him. And from inside, the man answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut. My children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Then Jesus says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now let's stop and think about this story, and let's let it land on our hearts this morning. It starts out very simple, a little village. There's a man living in this village, an insignificant person. He needs some bread to feed his friend who happens to come unexpectedly to his home as a guest at midnight. And then this story ends up with some very deep theology on prayer in the very final verse. Now look at verse 8, because I want to pull out a word there, and I highlighted it on your handout. It is the word persistence. This word, listen, it's a hyper word. It has the idea of urgency in it, being brash. It has the idea of this guy coming, and he's overly bold. He's shameless. He's coming shamelessly, and he's coming aggressively. And this guy has the gall. Have you ever just heard somebody say, well, they've got the gall? That means they've got nerve. He just came right in the middle of the night. Some dictionaries translate it this way, listen carefully. Troublesomely urgent, overly persistent, annoyingly relentless. Now what happened in the story is this. The guy who was in the bed finally got out of his bed, gave the man what he wanted, because that person was annoyingly persistent. Troublesomely urgent. He was a worrywart. Have you ever had a child or a grandchild? They're persistent in what they want. And finally, you just give it to them, don't you? Well, I do. This guy had a lot of nerve coming at midnight. I would never go to my neighbor's house at midnight to borrow something as insignificant as bread or, hey, I need a couple of eggs. But Teresa, this is about prayer. Am I really supposed to pray like that? Well, this is what Jesus is teaching us here. And so Jesus just jumps right in here. He's teaching his disciples. The subject is prayer. They're asking him about prayer, and he gives them a version of the disciples' prayer. And then he adds this parable, because he understood that what they would have in their minds, I mean, he's just given them the disciples' prayer, and God has his kingdom, and God has his will, and God has his purpose, and all of this. And that might leave his disciples with a nagging question about, well, why do we even need to pray? I mean, shouldn't I be reluctant to bother God with my little puny, insignificant problems? And so Jesus says, now I want to tell you a story. And he just jumps right into the daily life with this unforgettable story about a man whose friend came at midnight. Now, in Israel, they were dependent upon their neighbors. They didn't have Walmart. And, you know, the neighbors were in a small village together, and they really survived together. And every day they would get up and they would make bread for that day. They didn't have preservatives. They didn't have refrigeration. And so it's midnight, and that's the worst time to have a friend come to visit, isn't it? Because, you know, in that time, when darkness came, people went to bed. They worked all day, and they got up at daylight. Their day was from daylight to dark. There was no electricity. And by the way, this isn't an emergency. This isn't a crisis. Now, I would go to my neighbor if there was an emergency or a crisis. Say somebody's having a baby. That's pretty important. Come on, help me. Or someone fell and broke their leg, or someone's sick or whatever. But this isn't an emergency. I mean, this is just, I need a midnight snack for my unexpected guest. And by the way, people often traveled at night in that part of the world because it was so hot during the day. And so he says to his friend, get up, give me some bread. Look, it's not for me. It's just for my guest who's come. And that guy just flat out refuses to get up. Don't bother me. I'm in the bed. Let that guy, he can be hungry one night. It won't kill him. He can wait till tomorrow. And Jesus just jumps to the point of the story in verse 8. Look at it again with me. I tell you, he said, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And it's the perfect illustration for us that we can go to God and we can be so honest with God. God, I know you're running the universe. I know you're holding all things together by the power of your word. I know that you are involved in every part of the globe. But look, I just need you to sit down and listen to me. I need you to look at this. I need you to give me your attention. There are some things that I need. Now, that seems presumptuous, doesn't it? That we can just go to God like that. But that is exactly what this parable is teaching us. And here's the picture that I want you to see. It's one of you having boldness, persistence in going into God's presence of the universe. So let's write this down. Jesus is teaching us how to be bold in our prayers, or persistent would be another word you could put in there. Now, the man in our parable responded, finally, not because of friendship, but write it down. He responded because of persistence. And so this parable leads to an incredible promise in verses 9 through 10. Now, let me tell you what Jesus doesn't say in this parable. He doesn't say, now, Teresa, look, when you pray, you better not be like that guy. You better watch out. You better back off. You don't need to come around interrupting him, demanding things, because God already knows what's going on. God he doesn't need your information. That's not what Jesus says. Look at what he says in verse 9. I say to you, ask, it will be given. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened. And so he gives him three imperative words. So write them on your handout. First he says, come and ask. Then he says, seek. And then he says, knock. And by the way, in the Greek language, they're in the present tense. Now that means, look, Teresa, you keep on coming. All day long, even up to midnight, whenever you want. Keep on coming. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Look at the word ask. That's kind of your first level. First you go and you just ask. Hey, God, it's me again. It's Teresa. I've got some needs down here. They're little, but they're big to me. You can come with little things. You can come with big things. And then the next level is I'm going to seek. And that just means I'm going to demand, I'm going to strive after what I'm wanting in my heart. And then he says to knock. And then that's even getting more aggressive. We are not to be reluctant in prayer. We can go to God at any time and ask about anything. And we can even get aggressive in our praying. And listen, we can even bang on heaven's door. Have you ever banged on heaven's door? That is the invitation that God is giving to us in this parable. And I want you to let it land on your heart this morning. Have you ever thought about praying like this? Well, Teresa, is this just a blank check? I mean, ask, seek, knock. Can I just ask for whatever I want? Well, I have to study this in context. And the context of this, I have to go back to verses 2, 3, and 4, which is all about you need to pray in this way, Teresa. Hallow God's name. It's about his kingdom and his will and your needs and forgiveness and protection. In the context of this, I can go and ask, seek and knock. And that's the context narrows it, doesn't it? So it's not actually just a blank check. But the generosity of the statement in verses 9 through 10 is absolutely amazing. God is saying to us this morning, ladies, you just come to me in prayer. You can raise your voice at midnight. You can make demands of me. You can even bang on heaven's door. And I'm going to open the door. And I'm going to give you what you're asking for. And the point of the story is, when you're not embarrassed to go and ask, you're going to get what you ask for. So don't be hesitant to go to God in any circumstance, no matter how small. He's inviting you to come and to invade and to intrude and to be bold in your praying. And following this comes a principle that makes this all just make perfect sense. Now let's write the principle down on our handout. And here's the principle. Fathers give good gifts to their children. Look at verse 11. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish, he won't give him a snake. Or for an egg, he won't give him a scorpion. Now this is just a basic principle. You know this is true. Fathers love giving good gifts to their children. So now he's upping this a little bit from friendship. Because the friend's response was, don't bother me, the door is shut, we're already in bed. I'm your friend, but look, you're taking this friendship thing a little bit too far. I like being your friend in the day, but not at midnight. Friendship only goes so far, but fatherhood is something altogether different, isn't it? You see, if a friend will respond to your persistence, what will a father do? I remember as we were raising our children, they didn't hesitate to come ask for what they needed. They were always asking. Did yours? Because see, that's just what parents do. Loving, caring parents meet their children's needs. And that's the point here. Jesus is giving this promise to us. We're in his family now. We're his children. You're not bothering him. Go, ask, seek, receive, and the door is going to be open to you. So let's get the bottom line of the story. The bottom line of the parable illustrates we're to come at any time, no matter how simple the need, and be overly bold in our asking. This is what I want you to take home with you today. Then the promise, whatever it is that we seek within the framework of God's will, we will receive. And it's based upon the principle, and here's the principle, that God is a good father. Now that brings us to the most important point. It's the bottom line of our lesson today. And it's the last verse. It's verse 13. So go to it. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now we've jumped off into theology, girls. This verse is just so rich. When we go to God, we go with boldness, with persistence, rushing in, unloading everything that's on our hearts. First we ask, then we plead, then we start banging on the door, and God is absolutely delighted with that. Because with his perfect love, his perfect wisdom, his perfect power, his perfect provision, he's able to give the best to his children. Look at Psalm 84:11 on your handout. God withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly as his children. He holds nothing back. Now it says, how much more should our heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Well, where did the Holy Spirit, how does that fit in? When you go to ask for whatever you need and everything, and then God gives you the Holy Spirit, well, how's that the answer? Well, let me show you what I mean. God, I need comfort. I'm hurting down here. Comfort me, God. He gives me the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter. God, I need help. God, I'm just in this situation. I'm living this life down here. I need your help. God gives me the helper, who is the Holy Spirit. And then I'm searching for truth. And God, I just need truth on this matter. And God gives me the truth teacher, which is the Holy Spirit. And then I need strength in my life. I need power in my life. And then God gives me the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of power. I need wisdom. Do you need wisdom? Oh my goodness, I need wisdom. God, help me to be a good mother-in-law. God, help me to be a good mother. I want to have good boundaries with my children, don't you? I want to be a good grandmother. God, I need wisdom. Teach me how. I want to be a good Sunday school teacher. God, I want to be a good sister. I need all these relationships. I need wisdom. And God gives me the Spirit of wisdom, which is the Holy Spirit. And then I need guidance. He gives me the guide. I need love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. He gives me the Holy Spirit, and that's all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He intercedes for us on our behalf. Jesus said, I'll just give you the Spirit. Talk about generosity. How generous is God? What else can he give us but the very Holy Spirit? He not only gives you good gifts, but he plants in you permanently the source of the good gifts, which is the Holy Spirit. Do you realize you couldn't have even been convicted of sin apart from the Holy Spirit? Look on your handout. John 16, it says, and when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he's going to convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Right as you were coming to God, the Spirit was working, and he was convicting you that you needed the Lord. No one can even confess Jesus as Lord unless they have the Holy Spirit. Look there at 1 Corinthians 12:3. That's the work of the Spirit. No one can say Jesus is Lord unless by the Holy Spirit. We receive the knowledge of God's truth from the Holy Spirit because He's the Spirit that knows the things of God. He's given us liberty. That comes out of 2 Corinthians 3 on your handout. I've got so many things here. I just ran out of room on my handout. You were sealed for eternity by the Holy Spirit. You walk in righteousness by the Spirit. That's Romans 8. Baptized into the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. Indwelt by the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6. Filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5. Gifted by the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. Given virtues by the Spirit, Galatians 5. Empowered by the Spirit to evangelism, Acts 1:8. Constantly prayed for by the Holy Spirit, Romans 8. You have hope in the Spirit. He's your down payment, your engagement ring. I mean, I could go on and on. And when the Lord says, just pray, I'll give you the Holy Spirit, He's giving you absolutely everything. Do you see it? See, by His presence, by His power, by His grace, you are permanently the possessors of everything you need, absolutely everything. We have such a resource in the Holy Spirit. It's just over the top. And He doesn't just give you what the Spirit produces. He gives you the Spirit Himself. Isn't that amazing? So listen. I want you to be encouraged this morning through this lesson. I want you to be encouraged this morning to be a woman of God who steps out in faith and you pray for your world. Do you know you have influence? You have amazing influence. Each of us is the very center of our worlds. And there are all of these situations and people that are circling us. And if we would learn to just pray, that is the most powerful thing you can do is to pray. And God is so generous. He gives us the Holy Spirit. So listen, you can go to Him. You can go to Him at midnight with the most insignificant thing. Hey, can you just give me a couple of loaves of bread? I remember hearing a testimony about somebody who was just in dire straits. She didn't even have toilet paper. And she said, Lord, this is so silly. I'm just going to pray for toilet paper. And she was in her car, and suddenly there was a big truck who had turned over, and it was full of toilet paper. And she got out and got some. And she said, thank you, Jesus. You can hold God to His promises. You can. And I love this parable because it brings it down to where we are in our daily life. And I will say to you this morning, your prayers availeth much. Amen. Now, this is only one tiny drop from Niagara Falls on the subject of prayer. There's so much more we could say. I could teach for years on prayer. And so just this morning, what I'm hoping this has done is encouraged you to have boldness with God in your prayer. Don't feel so insignificant. You're not insignificant. You're a daughter. And He bids you to come to ask, to seek, and to knock. Even though He's so huge, isn't that beautiful this morning? Did this encourage you this morning? I hope so. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank You for this privilege of prayer. Amazing truth. So sweet of Jesus to give us this parable right after giving the disciples prayer, which could be overwhelming to us. And yet He says, you're just like that friend who can come to God and ask in the middle of the night, even for the most insignificant things. And so, Father, make us women who are in the center of our worlds and who are praying for our worlds. Convict us that this is the most powerful thing we can do. We want to be women of the Word, women of prayer. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.